We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am known. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some verses in scriptures bring into one's mind incidents what happened in their own lives. This reading which St. Paul gives us today about seeing ourselves now as through a glass in dark manner makes me think a time when I was visiting my grandmother. She had two of her older sisters also making a visit, and when they were leaving, they set themselves in front of the mirror that they would look for their benefit when stepping outside. One of them, before leaving, said to my grandmother, "You know, sis, you have too old and worn out a mirror. I see nothing but a tired, old, wrinkled face in there. You should really get a new one." Today, I'll also tell you about two other sisters, Saint Therese of Lisieux and her sister Céline. As children, they were inseparable, and when our little flower was a little girl, she said that they are like two little chicks that cannot be separated. Therese was always in tears when her older sister had to depart from her in order to go study in the class. Their mother noted that she had never seen two children love each other more. Last week we heard about St. Therese's excursion to Rome to meet the Pope. Céline accompanied her sister to that trip, and it was Céline who, during the papal audience, when the pilgrims had just been reminded that they were to file by in silence before the Pope, it was Céline who encouraged her little sister by this one vigorous word, "Speak." And after her little sister had gained permission to join the Carmelites, Céline too came by God's grace to have a vocation in the Carmel, changing her name to Sister Genevieve. But when Sister Genevieve started to live in Carmel, she noticed that something had changed between her and her sister Therese. She noticed her go often with another nun in the convent, going with her, smiling to her, and on the days when talking was allowed, always conversing with this nun first. At recreation, Therese appeared her happiest if she was with this nun and talked with such animation of soul with her. So, little by little, Sister Genevieve grew jealous. She said, "After all, I brought her up, and now she likes this sister, of all persons, better than me." And Genevieve one day actually reproached Therese and suggested that the ties of blood, after all, also come from God, and that is, it was hardly appropriate to show another nun such obvious preference. But Therese replied with nothing but an amused little smile. Then, on one day, when Genevieve was conversing with her sister, and expressing how it was sometimes very hard to keep good company with other nuns. Therese confided to her, in order to encourage her, that she too had one particular nun to whom she often felt bursts of impatience and with whom she really struggled to keep friendly and Christ-like relations. This was absolutely a revelation to Genevieve, for she had always seen her sister to be in such great control of herself. And when, on top of it all, Therese named the object of her daily struggles, she was dumbfounded, because it turned out to be this same nun whom Genevieve had envied to have taken her place as the main attraction in company. She wrote, "I was stunned. I had always thought this sister was her best friend." Dear faithful, how shameful do our uncharitable actions towards others appear when we compare them to the heroism of the saints. Sister Genevieve was as much stunned by her impression of the long suffering of her sister as she was embarrassed over the fact that the image which she saw on the mirror looked totally different in God's view. Of course, we often do think that our actions too should be modified, but too often our solution is to search a new mirror which would show us a good, handsome, and pious follower of Christ instead of the face which is old and tired and wrinkled by sin. For all sin spoil the beauty of the soul. The self-indulgence is extremely dangerous trap of the devil, because through this, devil can lure us much more effectively into sin than through heresy or immorality. How easy it is to shoot out a phrase in jovial conversation, pinpointing this or that fault of others. If someone is neglectful or forgetful of his duties, we joyfully and laughingly point it to others in the dinner table or at lunch, glowing over the fact that he or she blew it again and that that's the way he is and will never change. Or even if we keep it to ourselves, we grudge and complain about it, thinking always that, of course, everything has to go as I have planned. And instead of being a helper, every human being is merely an obstacle on my path in building the perfect world for me, that is. And all this we do so naturally and smoothly that most of the time we don't even think about it, much less confess it. We really should constantly keep in our minds these trembling words which our Lord spoke to Pharisees. How can you speak good things, whereas you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall render an account for it in the day of judgment. So remember all your witty, amused, and joyful pinpoints of the faults of others, and let's see how witty and joyful they will appear in front of the Lord on the day of judgment. Dear faithful, it is a terrible thing to be seriously sick and not know it. Disease, when it is neglected, often becomes fatal. In order to prevent the germs of sin from poisoning the soul, all bad habits have to be eliminated at the very beginning. That's what our Lenten saint, the little flower, did. Even though it was difficult to her too. In her monastery, there was also a neurotic portress who drove all her assistants to despair by her everlasting nagging, her thousand quirks, her reiterated instructions and prescriptions. Saint Therese herself wrote, "Out of love, we must let her keep her idea that she is benefiting us by all her good advice. And after all, she is really giving us an opportunity to practice patience." During her novitiate, Saint Therese herself assisted at the door and also felt as if she were pierced by a thousand pinpricks, until at times she thought she could not go on anymore. But when her successor took exception to the old woman's crutches, the portress said indignantly, "What is the matter with you? Sister Therese of the Child Jesus never talked to me that way." Be assured that our soul needs to be healed. If we know anything about ourselves, that must be clear as the new mirror. True self-knowledge makes us humble. People who like to pinpoint the faults of others usually know nothing about themselves. Self-blinded, they develop a colossal conceit. The scribes and Pharisees were of that type, and as we heard, our Lord despised and denounced them for it. And we too can turn into a scribe or a Pharisee if we fail to honestly acknowledge our failings and to beg our Lord to heal our soul. It doesn't mean that this will be easy. We saw that even Saint Therese was almost pierced to despair when trying to act as a charitable Christian. But nevertheless, we have these great words of the portress about her. "Sister Therese of the Child Jesus never talked to me that way." I don't know what your sorrows, disappointments, and grudges may be, but now when we are about to start our Lenten season, I can with safe assurance tell you that they are nothing compared to those tribulations which our Lord had to carry, all because of our selfishness. as the scripture says of our Lord, "O all ye that pass by the way, attend and see if there be any sorrow like to my sorrow. From above he hath sent fire into my bones, and hath chastised me. He had spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate, wasted with sorrow all the day long." Dear faithful, the life of Saint Therese calls us to be followers of him who had to suffer fire in his bones, that he might liberate us from the fires of hell. If we would only stop looking our own image from the mirror of God and see there the suffering holy face of our Redeemer. The day before Saint Therese's death, Sister Genevieve talked with her, and the dying little flower said, "All is accomplished. It is love alone that counts." When Sister Genevieve questioned her on what she had said to Jesus, she gave this admirable answer, "I don't say anything to him. I love him." The heroic patience and charity of that little flower should all be a lesson for us, that charity can not only cover up a multitude of faults, but that in the soul of a Christian it becomes the magic wand that touches one's every minor defect and turns it into the gold of true affection. I'm always struck with the force of this old saying, "Did universal charity prevail, earth would be a heaven and hell a fable." And surely, did charity prevail, this earth would taste in advance the happiness of heaven, and as for hell, no human being would inhabit it. What makes the world a place of misery and sorrow is neither sickness, death, nor poverty. It is the absence of universal charity. Even Saint Therese had difficulties of seeing Christ in the mirror of her and her sister's souls. But to her, to whom Christ gave so much, it was also given grace to write these loving words, "I feel that when I am charitable, it is Jesus alone who is acting in me. And the more united I am to him, the more also do I love my sisters." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.